The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Well, of course, we know that this light has arisen, that in this world darkened by sin, there is a great light in the world. And of course, that light is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, come into the world to scatter this darkness of sin. This is why this symbolism of our Lord as the light of the world is why we use candles at Mass. You know, we see the light from the candles. Why at the Easter Vigil we have the big fire. That bonfire again symbolizes that light of Christ in that darkness of the evening of the Easter Vigil. Also why it's so important the Easter Vigil be after the sun sets. Because we have that symbolism of that fire in the darkness. Our Lord Jesus came to banish that darkness of sin. And to do so, we are called to assist in that. We are called to be the instruments by which that darkness is scattered. The light of Christ is shown in the world. We see this call to do this in the gospel today. Look at the Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were called, the first ones called, to follow our Lord. And they were called so that the light of Christ might shine through the world, that they might go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel, and the light of Christ might shine in the world. Well, in our gospel, we see two parts to this call, two parts to the call that our Lord has given to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and gives to us as well. The first part of this call is what he did at the beginning of his ministry. So he heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, and so he went out and began his ministry. And he went out proclaiming the gospel with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." His first words in the gospel are repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's not just a call to the people of Israel, that's a call to us as well. We are all in need of repentance. We are constantly in need of that recognition of sin in our lives and the need to turn back to God. Because we have all fallen short of the life that God wants us to lead. God has a plan for us. He has a desire for us of how we are called to live as Christians. And you know, there are times in our lives we just don't live up to that. There are times in our lives that we are more attracted to other things that lead us away from God. Well, those other things are sins. Sin is that which keeps us from God, that which turns us away to God. Whether it is turn to the things of the world, turn inward, selfishly, whatever it might be, it's anything that turns us away from God. We have all caused and been involved in divisions and rivalries, as St. Paul says. The fact is, we've all sinned. We are all sinners. And it's easy for us to remain in that sin. It's hard to repent, but it's easy for us to remain in that sin. We might even justify that sin. We might even say, well, you know, it really wasn't that bad. I'm not that bad of a sinner. I haven't done that much. I'm better than some. You see that guy over there? He's worse than I am. You might hear someone say that. I've actually had someone say to me, you know, Father, I don't need to go confession. After all, I never killed someone. Well, you know, killing someone is not the only sin that we need to confess. There are plenty more that we need to do. Yes, that's a big one. I'll give you that one. But that's not the only one. Or you might hear someone say, well, that's not really sin anymore. You know, I know that way back when the church said it was sin, but it's not really sin anymore. Most likely, yeah, it still is. It still is a sin. It was a sin then. It probably still is today. You know, we can justify our sins. And it's hard when we're doing that to recognize the effect that those sins have in our lives by turning us away from God. It's hard to repent from that. It's hard to turn away from sin and to turn back to God. It's hard for us to recognize that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's coming any time now, and we need to be ready for it. The second part of this call that our Lord gave to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and gives to us, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. This call is an active call. It's not something passive. It's not something that we can sit by and say, Lord, I've got your back. I'm following you. I'll be here when you need me. To just sit there passively waiting for him. Instead, it's an active call. It's a going out and following his steps daily. You know, one thing we need to recognize is that the spiritual life is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time deal or several steps. Okay, I got baptized, confirmed, first communion. I'm good now, right? No, that's just the start. That's just the beginning. That's the beginning of the journey. We've got steps to go. There's an image you'll see a lot, especially in the early church fathers, of the spiritual life not having any plateaus. That it's a slope. Either you're climbing up it or you're sliding down it. There is no flat place where you can take a rest in the spiritual life. We need to be constantly moving forward. And we can see that in our lives, that when we stop taking the spiritual life seriously, we start slacking back on it. The spiritual practices that we had done before start fading away, start falling away. We stop doing them. We need to recognize that it is an active call to follow our Lord, and that we need to do so with some urgency. You know, look at Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They didn't say to our Lord, you know, Lord, I want to follow you, but I really got these nets to take care of, and I got the bills to pay, and I've got work to do. You know, why don't come back after I'm ready to retire? Then I'll help you out. They didn't say, you know, someone else can do it. They got up, and they got up that moment. They got up immediately. They dropped their nets, and they followed our Lord. We need to be like them. We need to have that kind of urgency. We've got to go now. We've got to get going in our spiritual life now. We've got to get serious about this now. It is urgent, because we don't know when our Lord will come again. And more importantly, most likely for us, we don't know when our time on earth is done. We don't know when our last breath on earth will come. An accident could happen. We could become sick. Whatever it might be, we don't have guarantee that there is a tomorrow. And so we need to take the spiritual life with great urgency now. There used to be a practice very early on in the church which was very quickly discouraged, was to wait for converts to wait for baptism until their deathbed. So they would be baptized right away before they died, so then they could just walk right into heaven. And one very well-known example of this was the Roman Emperor Constantine, who made Christianity legal within the Roman Empire, but he himself was not baptized until his deathbed. Well, the church very quickly cracked down on that. The church very quickly said, no, it needs to be done as soon as possible. That is why we have infant baptism, because that spiritual life is a lifelong journey. It's not something you kind of hold back until that last minute, because you know what happens when you do that? Sometimes the last minute comes before we're ready for it. We can't expect that to happen. And there is a danger if we don't heed this call. If we don't heed this call with urgency. This call to repent and this call to follow our Lord. And the danger is that we will miss out on the kingdom of heaven. That we will miss out on this great gift of salvation that our Lord promises us. And to be explicit, you know, something we don't hear a lot nowadays, but maybe we need to be reminded more often. Hell does exist. People have gone there, are going there, and will go there, and we don't want to be one of them. Let's be that explicit. But if we don't have that urgency, we put ourselves at that risk. That's the danger we're talking about. So may we truly seek that salvation, seek that kingdom of heaven by having that urgency that Peter, James, John, and Andrew had, to hear that call of our Lord to repent, to hear that call of our Lord to follow him, and to respond to it as those four apostles did.